So today is episode 3, and we are doing the missing case of Jake Just. So this is a hometown case. I am from the area, so when I was a child, I was hearing a lot about the Jake Just case. I was just a little curious about what happened. I have tried to find the exact trail he was walking. I will be trying to maybe do a live podcast if I can find the route. Just to kind of see where he did go through, a little bit more information about it. I have uploaded pictures of the trail and a little bit more information about the case on my Facebook site. I will do my media shoutouts at the end of my episode. Also, this still is an open case, so I just thought I would give a little bit more information about it. So let's get into it. On the very fateful night of October 30th, 1998, Jake Just was 18. He had been missing for 22 years. Since he went missing, Jake's mother relives the night all over again every day before Halloween. But the OPB has suspected foul play in the case of Jake Just. His mother actually has quoted to Simcoe.com and a few other places. So I thought I'd just share the quote with you. So, quote, "I just want someone to let me know, even anonymously, where my son is and let our family move on. I am not taking it lightly when I say it doesn't matter to me. If they are punished, because they have lived with this for 17 years too. This got to be hard. We just need the closure." End of quote. Now, when she quoted this, this was a little while ago, so that's why it says 17 years. So I just thought I would actually put in the proper quote when it was quoted. So Jake had been at a party, and at that party, everyone said that he apparently smashed a beer bottle or some kind of bottle over his head, which would have caused a lot of damage, depending on how drunk he was and what kind of state he was in. So about 24 hours after the party, his mother had contacted the police on that night at 8 p.m. after Debbie was handing out candy to kids. She noticed that Jake still wasn't home. She felt something was wrong, so she called the police, but she waited 24 hours to call the police because she didn't know that you have to wait 24 hours to report someone missing. And you know, he was a teenager, he went to a party, he could have just stayed out drunk, but she felt something was wrong. Mother's intuition, she knew. So she called all his friends beforehand, before she actually contacted the police, hoping maybe he was at a friend's house or he was maybe with anyone, depending on like if he had a girlfriend. I'm not really too sure. I couldn't really find much information about that. But at the time of the disappearance, Jake was described as a white male, 6'2", 170 pounds, with blonde hair and green eyes. He was last seen wearing olive green and beige long sleeve t-shirt, black DVS size 11 running shoes, and carrying a black Jaeger brand knapsack. So over the years, grid searches have been performed. There was one done in 2010 by the OPP Criminals Investigation Branch of the kind of like the place he went missing is the Swampy area. So they did conduct a search there. He went missing on Sunnyside Drive and north of Vinden Street in Midland. After 12 years, police were hoping to find some form of evidence or possible remains. The search was carried out by the Midland OPP, the Midland Police Emergency Response Team, but nothing had turned up. Police notified Debbie if anything would come up, they would let her know. But over the years, tips tend to come in, especially on the anniversary date, but nothing has been pursued. But I did find an article. So back in October 2019, the Simcoe.com was contacted by one of Jake Just's friends that he was very well known to him. He knew Jake, they went to high school, they were buddies, so he knew about him. So Dan Greatrex is his name. He refuses to believe the theory that Jake's accidental slip into a boggy forest, which it's kind of like a quicksand. So they say it's an endless pit, but the swampy area was actually drained, and apparently four bodies were found there, three male indigenous men and one indigenous woman that actually went missing beforehand in the 1960s, I believe. I can't really find much information more on that on Google, but I did try to search it up. I'm sorry about that, guys. But nothing was found at Jake Dress. No remains, no knapsack, no shoes, no clothing, nothing. It just, it's like he's vanished. There was actually a cop named Webster who actually quoted, "There's been no trace. It's like they've been plucked by aliens." At the same time, there was another person that was missing. Tune in to the episode that will continue to the girl that was missing. I will not reveal any information about it. You'll have to see if you do enjoy my podcast. If not, I'm very sorry I'm bad at it. So anyways, back to the case. So he refuses to believe that Jake's accident, that it was an accident. He refuses to believe it, according to Greatrex, and I quote, "Based on a story from one of his trusted long-life friends, told him that Jake actually had made it out of the forest that night and did arrive to the 4th Street party, only to be dragged out of the house where he supposedly was beaten, killed, and dragged underneath the Georgian pier and was buried." End of quote. Dan also quoted, "It's a guy I've known since I was 10 years old. He literally just dumped all of this on me. This guy has been completely honest with me over the years." According to Greatrex, this friend had known the perpetrators as well. They were associated with drugs. Greatrex stated that him and Jake sold pot at high school, and Jake got a little bit of sticky fingers. Well, at least that's what Dan was told. And he wouldn't pay his debt, so they wanted their money, so they waited till Jake showed up at the party, beat him up, killed him, and buried him. Now, we have three piers down at the bike trail, so, like, we do have, like, the Midland Town Docks, and we have three piers, but the piers that we have are concrete with metal surroundings covered in water, and there's really no way that someone could be buried there. I'm sorry, but, like, that puts a big dent in it. I've been down there many times, like, in high school when I used to skip. I used to go down there, hang out with my friends, we go swimming, and I've been in that water many times. Like, there's no way you can put someone under a concrete pier that's at least 5 feet in the water. It's impossible. I'm sorry, you gotta be, like, Superman to do that. He had stated he got sticky fingers and he wasn't going to pay his debt. But Jake's mother doesn't believe that, but also too, she still doesn't necessarily know a lot about what happened. She knows that something did happen to her son. He was maybe involved in something or someone wanted to hurt him. She doesn't know, but she does welcome any tips or any leads that can be revealed to explain his disappearance. She just wants to know. She just wants to know what happened to her son. And I understand where she's coming from. Like, if I had a kid and they never came home, I would do anything I could to find out what happened, whether someone was punished or not. I would just want to know the truth. So, anyways, we'll just go on with that. So, the OPP actually still hasn't interviewed Greatrex. I don't know why. Sorry, that was my speaker shutting off. I don't know why they still haven't interviewed him. I mean, like, if you have key information or you're a witness, why wouldn't you interview? And if the police did tell her that if they had any new information, they would let her know. Well, why are they refusing to talk to him? What is so important that he's not a liable witness? Unless he does have a criminal record, but Again, these are all speculations. I can't say anything. This is just kind of like my opinion. So over the years, his mother has turned to psychic mediums and other forms of closure that she could get. There have been a couple mediums, Edna, Darji, Steve, and Jackie. I didn't write down their last names, sorry. But they actually invested in themselves using maps, dowsing with pendulums, and other forms of techniques to try and communicate with Jake to give Debbie closure. She wants to know. So they also entered the woods altogether to retrace the steps of Jake during that experience. They said it was as if Jake was speaking to them and guiding them towards the path he allegedly took, then exited. But Jackie and Steve believe that Jake left the woods on foot nearby the road and was possibly struck by a vehicle, then taken from the area. But again, that's just another theory about the case. Over the years, there have been so much speculation, so much different theories between the swamp area, then the new theory arriving that he was a drug dealer and got beat up over a debt. Then there's also, you know, he got hit over the head, like he could have got amnesia or started a new life. Like, there's so many different theories to this case, but there's no evidence. There's literally no proof except for he got hit over the head with a bottle and left the party with friends, took a shortcut, and apparently never arrived. So that was like kind of the only thing they could prove. But like, the case of Jake Jess is a very well-known case around Ontario. Like, we don't have any information about it. There is a picture on my site that shows what he would look like now. I know it was generated actually a few years ago, so I wouldn't say what he would look like now, but what he would have looked like when they did post the photo. But there is still a $50,000 reward for any information or leads that could arrest or prove who took Jake or what happened. But with so much speculation and lack of evidence, it's very unlikely that anything's going to be solved unless someone's willing to step up who was involved to let them know. That was my cat, Toby. I think he felt like he wanted to say hi. Sorry, guys. But like, with not a lot of witnesses or tips or key witnesses for interviews, and if the OPP aren't even going to interview Dan Graytrix, then I don't really think there's a lot of effort going into the case. Like, I know this is an old case, but still, you would think that they would want to give closure to the family, at least. But that's kind of all I have about the case. I really hope you enjoyed it. This was the case of the missing Jake Just.
And that's all I have for you today, guys. So this was episode 3, the missing case of Jake Just. I feel for his family. I feel for him. I hope one day we will know what actually happened. Thank you so much for tuning in again, guys. As you all know, I am on several different platforms. I also have a YouTube channel and, of course, a Patreon. So don't forget to check those out. Please like, follow, and share for more Creepaholics episodes. I'm your host, Shanice. Keep creeping it real, everyone. Thanks, guys.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ha 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 ha.